live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on this very first day of December 2025. Today we have a returning guest named Alexander Wright, who is founder and president of Vessels for Christ, and he's going to be addressing Declaring the Gospel in Asia, Assessment of a Recent Missionary Trip, the Challenges Believers Face Overseas, and Reasons for Optimism Regarding the Advancement of Christ's Kingdom. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Alexander Wright.
Thanks, Chris. I appreciate you having me back on the show.
Well, before we get into your most recent mission trip to Asia, let our listeners know something about Vessels for Christ.
So Vessels for Christ is a nonprofit ministry. We started in 2017. I was radically converted in 2014, and God put missions on my heart right away. And after a few years, I decided to start the ministry, and really had just had, we have a longing and a heart for the brothers and sisters overseas. We have a lot of knowledge here in America. We have a lot of resources, and I feel like our time can be well spent helping those that need, you know, that we can give some of that knowledge and resources to the ones overseas, the brothers and sisters, and help equip the churches. We do a lot of work in third world countries. We try to help the pastors financially. We support them with teaching and preaching, just trying to get them to understand sound theology, good doctrine, and really equip them to counter the cults and the false teachings in their different countries.
And if anybody wants to find out more about Vessels for Christ, go to vesselsforchrist.org. Vesselsforchrist.org, and God willing, we'll be repeating that towards the end of the show. Well, first of all, why the selection of Asia? And tell us approximately when you launched this mission trip out there, and specifically where you went.
So, yeah, the last couple of years have been eventful. I had a baby almost 18 months ago. We moved down to South Florida, so we're part of Emmanuel Baptist Church in South Florida, 1689 Reformed Baptist Church. I'm currently going to seminary, to Reformed Baptist Seminary, working on a Master's of Theology. So there were a lot of life changes happening, and I had to help out with my wife and the school. So it took about 2 years since the last trip to kind of organize this, work with the pastors overseas, see what they needed, see what kind of things we could offer to them. And so I was able to plan that trip this year. And finally, the baby was at a point where my wife could take care of her more. I didn't need to be at the house for a month. And I was able to go out there and visit different churches, different partners we work with, and really just wanted to get them resources, see how I can help them with preaching and teaching, and just how to equip their church members to boldly proclaim the gospel. That is kind of was the emphasis of the trip. So in Asia, it's a very safe-based type of culture. So they're very defensive. You know, they don't want confrontation. They want to be polite, even more so than America. So my thing that I was emphasizing on this trip was Christ over culture. You know, we want to obey the command of the gospel, go out to the nations, disciple the nations, share the gospel, the law, the gospel, the cost, tell people what it means to take up their cross and follow him, and really be bold in our workplace, with our friends, out on the streets. And so that was a big emphasis of this trip. In South Florida, I open air preach at times. I hand out tracts at times at the campus and the beach. I did some abortion ministry for a few years when I used to live in Central Florida. I believe God's called me to be with my evangelistic gifts, you know, and to exercise them. So I wanted to, you know, emphasize that on this trip and try to teach them, help them, equip them to go out and give them just simple biblical truths about what it means to share the gospel, how to share the gospel, how to have those openings, and be obedient to Christ's command in the New Testament. So that was a big emphasis for this trip.
Well, praise God. Well, tell us specifically about where you went in Asia, and tell us about both the challenges and the praise reports.
Yeah, so I started off in Japan. So I was actually in 5 countries in 30 days. Me and my wife made a rule when we got married. She said, I don't want you to be gone more than a month once we got married, because I used to travel a lot more. So I said, okay, I'm gonna pack 5 countries in 30 days, which I probably won't do again, because that was extremely exhausting, extremely taxing on me. I praise the Lord that he sustained me during that trip, and my health was preserved. So I didn't get sick on this trip, which was a huge blessing, because that can really, you'd probably talk to some other people who go overseas and teach and preach and things. It can really derail, you know, the trip.
Well, I'm dying to hear about Japan, because I know it has one of the lowest populations of Christians anywhere in the world. I remember years ago, when Iron Sharpens Iron Radio was broadcasting out of WNYG Radio in Babylon, Long Island, I conducted an interview on the Moonies with a thoroughly knowledgeable expert on that cult. And I got my first and only email from Japan, and a woman was thanking me for the interview. She had become a Christian through listening to and reading the ministry and books of Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. And her and her husband were Moonies. They were married in an arranged marriage. And wow. Although they did not have spousal affection for each other, they remained married even after leaving the cult. And she was dismayed because she could not find an evangelical Bible-believing church anywhere near her. The closest church that even had some kind of an identity as Christian was a Roman Catholic church, and she couldn't tolerate attending those services anymore. And I wouldn't advise any true Bible-believing Christian to go to a Roman Catholic church. So she was just pleading for help to find one. And she said that less than 1% of the population was Christian. But pick up where I left off there.
Yeah, sure. That is true. Yeah, less than 1% is. And that's including Eastern Orthodox and Roman Catholics in the number. So it's even less. Even less. So praise God. I'll give you the praise first, is that I know of 20 churches right now in Japan that are faithful Bible churches. The gospel is flourishing there. It's still a very small percentage of Christians, but there are good faithful churches. Actually, 15 of those, me and my friend is compiling a list of Reformed churches around the world. 1689, they hold the 1689 or the Baptist Faith and Message, or are just Calvinistic. And 15 of those churches are actually, their pastors are 1689 confessional churches, but they can't report it because they could lose support from the people overseas that support them. So they have to keep that kind of secret.
And this was where? This is where specifically?
This is in Japan.
Really? Why would they have to?
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of any government government intolerance of Christianity there, especially since they're such a small group, like there is in China and other places like that.
Well, yeah. No, it's not the government thing. It's the... they have support from overseas, and if they find out, the pastors find out, the people overseas who support them find out they're 1689,
oh,
they lose that support.
Oh, so the threat comes from professing Christians.
Exactly, yeah. And, yeah, so this is pretty common if you do enough work overseas, where people kind of have to hide some of their Calvinistic Reformed convictions from some of their supporting people overseas, or they will lose support because people just hate Calvinism.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit more about your experiences in Japan, and was there frustration that they were such a small minority, their own efforts in evangelizing their neighbors, that kind of thing?
Yeah, so I went to visit... Tokyo Bible Church, which is a Reformed 1689 church.
Cool.
The pastor is Pastor Shiro Nakayama. And it's interesting. I want to tell the story about how that church came about. I think it'll be interesting for the listeners. So Timothy Peach was an American who was IFB King James only in the 40s. And he went over to Japan to pass out tracts, share the gospel. And then the war broke out. So he actually went back to the States. And then after the war was over, he went back to Japan, helped with all the aid after the bombs were dropped. And he actually got his first convert. And the first convert he got, he sent him to a Bible school affiliated with Westminster. So that convert in the early 50s became Reformed. And then actually shared Reformed theology with this guy, Timothy Peach, who was the guy sharing the gospel and wanting to, you know, see people saved in Japan. And then there was some arguments and tension for a few years regarding this. And then he eventually became Reformed, and they started this church in the 50s, this Reformed Baptist church in Japan. And it's been standing ever since.
Hallelujah.
And yeah, so it's pretty wild. And it's actually... it's a very good church. I met a lot of the members there. I spent time at the service there. And there are a lot of needs. There are things to pray for. I'd say their evangelistic efforts. There's a challenge, like I said before, between the Japanese culture and sharing the gospel, because they do like everyone to like them and things like that. And it's also a very isolationist culture. So actually there's a fellowship issue there too, because they work so much and they like to spend time alone. They don't really connect with the people in the church. So that's something we can pray for as well. The pastor's been trying to push that a little bit.
Now, did you get a fairly detailed understanding from the Christians there as to why they believe the Christian church is so microscopic in Japan? I can remember seeing a movie about Catholic missionaries in Japan.
Oh, Silence.
And is that the one where the Japanese official rebukes one of the missionaries, who I think might have been imprisoned or something, And he said, Japan is not the soil for Christianity to grow, or something like that.
Yeah, that's a good accent.
I don't know if your Japanese friends are, if they're listening, if they would agree with that or not. But
find this funny.
But did they share with you any thoughts on why this is? I mean, it's interesting. I mean, you could perhaps disagree with me, but from what I understand, never having been to Japan, but just seeing television programs and documentaries and things, it seems that in many ways, Japan loves the Western culture and seeks to mimic it. Not that Christianity is Western necessarily, but it, you know, it flourishes in many parts of the West, and you would think that there would be more of an openness to explore that part of Western culture. Am I correct on any of that?
A little bit. They love Christmas and Halloween and the holidays and Hollywood and things like that that come from the West. One of the issues in Japan is it's very materialistic. It's becoming a little more progressive as well. So people love status and things, and that is a big hindrance to the gospel. So that's one big hindrance. The other hindrance is the connection aspect. People don't really have very deep relationships. They don't want to go very deep with spiritual things. So it can take a while for them to open up to someone who they even have known just for, you know, 2-3 years. Like some of these people, their closest friends are people they grew up with, like when they went to school, like grade school with. So that is another hindrance. And then you have to get kind of this off this Christianity is a religion of the West type of thing. That is another hindrance to the gospel.
So in other words, even though they may love many aspects about the West, they don't want to adopt a spirituality or a religion that is inseparably linked in their minds to the West.
Yeah, exactly. And just like in a lot of other cultures and countries I've been in, you lose a lot for the gospel. So if they do become Christians and actually get baptized, they get ostracized from their family. They get looked down upon. A lot of the family members think they're just joining some sort of cult.
And of course that happens here in the United States all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Exactly. So there is that aspect as well, where there's a cost to following Christ, as we know, and they have to deal with that as well.
Now, is the dominant religion there Shintoism, or am I misremembering that? And whatever their most prominent religion there, is it more nominal than really deeply believed and practiced?
So I would say that their prominent religions are Shintoism, Buddhism, and animism. So ancestry, you know, worshiping ancestors. Most Japanese houses actually have a little shrine to your ancestors. So those are the main religions. And yeah, it is very nominal. Most people don't really hold deeply to those roots. They kind of entertain it. But most people are just atheists at the end of the day in the Japanese culture. They don't really believe in anything. So if you can actually get them to open up and talk with them and share a track or the gospel, you can start from the beginning to the end and actually share what the Bible says, because they've never even read a Bible. They don't even, most of them don't, they might have a concept of it, but they don't really know what's in it.
And by the way, before I forget, I would love to have the contact information of that Japanese pastor to get him on Iron Trip and Zion Radio.
Oh, sure. Yeah, I'll send that over.
The Reformed Baptist one. Now, how are you welcomed in that country, even just walking around in public? Did people immediately notice the fact that, hey, look, there's a Caucasian here? Because obviously there are very few comparatively over there. I mean, I don't know if there's a tourist area where there are dozens, if not hundreds, of Caucasians there at one time. But tell us about that.
Yeah, so, no, yeah, I stick out like a sore thumb. I'm a 6'5 white American.
Wow, I didn't even, so, I met you and I don't remember you being that tall. Wow. In fact, I ate dinner with you, and I'm trying to remember if I was astonished by your height.
That was a long day. I think that was after the G3 conference.
Yes, so it was.
That was a long day. But yeah, so I'm very tall, so I stick out. I'm a foreigner there. People definitely look at me. And as far as the tourist areas, yeah, like I went to go see one of the biggest Buddhas in Japan. It's probably like maybe 250 feet. It's really tall. And it's a huge Buddha, and that's a big tourist area. Yeah, I blend in a little more there. There's more foreigners sightseeing, and it's a tourist spot. But yeah, if I'm like, you know, going around the subway or going into some neighborhood where it's mostly Japanese, yeah, people are always looking at me and this is sometimes smiling. Yeah, they're sometimes smiling and laughing, and I look at them in the eyes, and they look back at me. It's like, I know you're staring at me, you know.
They were probably laughing more because of your height, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Yeah, and everyone assumes I'm like a famous basketball player or like some sort of celebrity or something.
We have to go to our first commercial break. If anybody would like to join us with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back, right after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession. We embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging, and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
This program is sponsored by Hope PR Ministry. Hope PR Ministry is a podcast produced by Hope Protestant Reformed Church in Walker, Michigan. We are dedicated to sharing Reformed biblical content every Wednesday and Friday. Tune in for sermons, lectures, and interviews exploring distinctive Reformed doctrines. If you are looking for Christ-centered content, simply search Hope PR Ministry on your favorite podcast platform to begin listening today. Hope PR Ministry also offers morning meditations, a daily podcast featuring Reformed devotionals designed to nourish your soul. Start your day with these spiritually enriching messages by tuning into morning meditations wherever you get your podcasts.
I am still praising God for the addition of Gold Wealth Management to the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio family of advertisers. They are veteran-owned and operated and built on the values of honor, courage, commitment, and service to others. The same values that were instilled in the owner during his 8 years in the Marine Corps. Gold Wealth Management is offering free reports on current market conditions. The threat of BRICS, which stands for Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa. The coming digital currency, and how to protect your savings and retirement accounts with real assets like physical gold and silver. There is absolutely no pressure and no obligation. Request your free reports today. Call 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911. Or visit goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. That's goldwealthmanagement.com/iron. And tell them Chris from Iron Truck and Zion Radio sent you. Don't wait. Be informed. Be prepared with Gold Wealth Management.
Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com. For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB and tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit royaldiadem.com. That's royaldiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And Christmas will be here before you know it, so why not buy those very special people in your life beautiful, head-turning, stunning, breathtaking jewelry from royaldiadem.com. And in doing so, you'll be giving Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a Christmas present at the same time, because the owners of royaldiadem.com love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio so much that not only do they provide us with financial support every single month automatically, on top of that, they give us 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners simply by those listeners mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when they purchase their jewelry from royaldiadem.com. So whether it's jewelry that they already have in stock, whether it's jewelry that you want customized, designed, and created, and keep in mind some ideas for that. Perhaps someone you love is a pastor or a ministry leader in a parachurch organization, and you want to get the logo for that church or parachurch ministry turned into a pendant for a necklace or a ring or something. Whatever the need is for your personalized jewelry, they do a phenomenal job. I've seen it with my own eyes firsthand. And so whether you're buying things that they have in stock or having something customized, whether you're buying for yourself or someone you love, please go to royaldiadem.com and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're now back with Alexander Wright of Vessels for Christ. And Alexander, where we left off, we were discussing Japan. And do you have anything further to say? Because I know you visited a lot of countries in Asia recently. So it's up to you if you want to move on or say anything else that you learned from your experience in Japan.
Just want to say one more thing, then we can move on. We're thinking about doing a conference there next year. So your listeners can be praying for that. There's some, like I said, evangelism is a little soft on evangelism in Japan. They're also kind of soft. Some of the churches, not the ones I was talking about, but some of the churches are soft on abortion and homosexuality.
Even evangelicals?
Yeah, even evangelicals.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's some of that there. So me and some of the brothers and pastors were talking about maybe having a conference where we just talk about those topics.
I hope that does not include that Reformed Baptist church you were talking about.
No, they're solid. Their pastor teaches solid stuff. So
okay, that would have been a shock otherwise.
No, they're good. But some other churches, and then we would have the conference and bring some of those guys in from the other churches.
Now, is the English language so common there that you didn't need to learn Japanese, or do you know Japanese? Tell us about that.
I'm learning a little basic Japanese, but no, I needed a translator. With some of the guys, they grow up learning English, so you can speak to them like some of the Christian brothers. But even with the pastor that I was mentioning, he had a translator there. He spoke pretty good English, but sometimes they had to translate because some of the phrases and concepts don't really translate well. So
so you could easily get smacked across the face for saying something that you never intended.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely true. Yeah. But yeah, so we'll see.
Okay, well, let's hear about some more of the countries you visited in Asia.
Yeah, so the next country I went to was Thailand. And There's a couple of things I did there. One, I visited a missionary. I'm not going to mention his name on the air because he's done work in China for years, and he actually got kicked out of China, and now he's currently staying in Thailand. But I was actually met with him and was very encouraged. He gave me some encouraging words. You know, we're in the same type of Reformed Baptist circles. And he was just encouraging me to keep exhorting, encouraging people in those circles. Sometimes I feel like even as Reformed Baptists in those circles, we can be a little soft on evangelism. You know, sometimes we get comfortable in our churches and we like our churches, but we don't kind of go outside of our churches. So he was encouraging me in that regard to keep doing what I'm doing, keep encouraging the churches in the Reformed world to share the gospel, proclaim the gospel, and also just to remember, I think one thing that's important, and maybe I have a different viewpoint because I've been traveling a lot and I don't really stick in one sort of camp, but it's always important. We got brothers and sisters across the camp, you know, Presbyterians, Anglicans, you know, evangelical, and all, even charismatic brothers, you know, like we want to stay true. You know, our connection is on the essentials. You know, do we believe in the deity of Christ? Do we believe in the resurrection? Do we believe it's the word of God? Do we believe that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone? You know, these are the important things that keep us united as brothers. But yeah, we have differences in baptism and different things, but we want to stay. We want to remember that just because we have those differences doesn't mean we shouldn't fellowship and partner and work with those brothers, you know, with those differences.
Yes, obviously there is the balance, because some differences that are prevalent, unfortunately, in evangelicalism are so heretical that we have to avoid fellowship or break fellowship with certain people. Depending upon how extreme the difference is.
Yeah, I mean, one of those would be like Seventh-day Adventism. I mean, that's clearly false. You know, Ellen G. White was a false prophetess. She believed that that we are, Jesus is continually washing away our sins in heaven. Justification is not once, but it's a continual process. I mean, that's clear break of fellowship. That's heresy.
Right, and of course, like the Word of Faith movement as well, and things like that.
Yeah, prosperity, which is a big deal in Thailand and in other countries, is the prosperity stuff. That's a lot of what I'm counteracting overseas, because people think those false teachers prey on those brothers and sisters overseas. They think that they preach this, you know, name it and claim it, give and be blessed, your life's going to be great, look at me, I fly in a jet, you can fly in a jet too. They don't preach the whole counsel of God, they just twist the scriptures, and that is something I'm constantly teaching against and constantly counteracting those ideas in those different countries.
Now, is there a much larger evangelical population in Thailand than in Japan?
So, with Thailand, there is, I'd say, a little bit more, but not much.
Huh.
In Thailand, yeah, the predominant viewpoint, it's primarily Buddhist. It's about 95% Buddhist. And it's more of a nominal Buddhism, you know, Buddhism by name. Some of them go to the temples and here and there. But they don't, there is a small faction of churches. Because even in Thailand, you have to register the church with the government. You have to abide by certain rules. You have to, you know, there's certain things that kind of restrict you from even worshiping there. But you are free to evangelize. You're actually even free to open air preach there. You just can't say anything bad about the king. If you say anything bad about the king, you're going to prison. So you just can't talk about the king of Thailand, but you can actually preach the gospel there.
Oh, praise God.
Yeah, that's good.
And just so I don't have to keep repeating this same question, how prevalent is the English language in these Asian countries that you have visited, where you are understood, or Do you always have an interpreter with you?
Yeah, so I was in Japan. It was kind of a mix, you know. In Thailand, I actually spoke to a church there. His name's Pastor Marcus Say. He has a small Baptist church in the border of Thailand and Myanmar. He had a mostly Filipino congregation, so Filipinos speak English. So I actually just preached in English there. Yeah, and then later that night, he had a Baptist church plant type of outreach thing that they were doing. Burmese, Baptist church plant. So I had to have a translator. I can understand. I lived in Myanmar for a while, so I can kind of understand 50%. I have 50% comprehension level of Burmese, but I still need a translator when I preach to Burmese people. And then in Cambodia, I had a translator the whole time. They don't really know much English. And then in Myanmar, I had a translator as well, because their English is very limited as well.
Oh, you know, it just occurred to me, I've got to hook you up with my friend, Pastor Jeff Waddington, who is a Presbyterian pastor here in Pennsylvania. But he provides online instruction in the Christian faith to a church in Cambodia. He does it via Zoom, and so I obviously have to get you to introduce to each other.
Yeah, that would be great. Actually, speaking of Presbyterians, Ligonier, which is kind of loosely connected to St. Andrews, they actually were gracious enough to donate almost 30 Reformation study Bibles to our ministry. And I was able to get those to Myanmar and other countries in Asia. Oh,
praise God. So any other specific experience that you want to address in Thailand before you move on to another one of the countries you visited?
Yeah, so Thailand, yeah, I was saying I was with Pastor Marcus Say. I preached on church membership there. I preached a couple of evangelistic messages to lost people there as well. Some of the phrases there are little faithful churches there, and there's evangelism going on, which is great. Some of the challenges there are that is even worse than Japan, and they think the Christianity is just a Western man's religion. So you really have to counteract that and say, no, Christ died for all. You know, he can be your savior too. He forgave the sins of the people, you know, of the world, John 3:16. You know, we can preach that and emphasize that. And then on top of that, the Buddhist culture there, there's no beginning point with Buddhism. They think the world was, you know, people reincarnated, the world was renewed, you know, over and over and over again. There's no starting point. So you have to counteract some of that. You really have to start from creation, from Genesis, go to Revelation with people there, where it's a little different. Like in America, we've been so exposed to Christianity, and there's so many cults here, and people have probably more of an understanding of, you know, who Jesus is, what the Bible is. And you're dealing with a lot of nominal Christians here, and you're dealing with a lot of people who are in cults. So you're having to, you know, discuss and defend the faith, like 1 Peter 3:15 says, and like, you know, the Apostle Paul did, and really, you know, say, no, the resurrection did happen. This is why it happened. You're having to do, you know, a Jesus is God, like what you do with the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons, and he was never created. He was always with the Father since the beginning. You know, you have to do that more here, where in those countries, you're starting with a blank slate. So it's refreshing being in Asia, because here it's like there's so much more strife when trying to share the gospel here than I do even have in Asia. Because if you meet, you know, someone in Thailand or Cambodia or wherever, and they don't know anything, you can just start from the beginning. And they're like, wow, I've never heard this before. What is this? You know, what's the Bible? This is God's word. Who's Jesus? And you can just go through the gospel like that. So.
Praise God. Well, what was the next agenda on your schedule in Asia?
Yeah, so I went from Japan to Thailand, then to Cambodia.
I meant Cambodia. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. Yeah. So I went to Cambodia, and actually I went to a Heart Cry conference a few years
ago. Paul Washer's ministry.
Yeah, Paul Washer's ministry. They had a Southeast Asian conference in Bali, and they had a lot of pastors from all over Asia there, and I met one from Cambodia. And so that was how I got the connection. And he does a lot of campus ministry. So we were able to go out, go to the campuses there, share the gospel. He was my main translator there. And I mean, I just remember, can't remember his name, but like I was just telling you, there was one guy there who he came from the village. There's a lot of rice fields in Cambodia. So the farming is mostly rice. And he came from the rice field where his dad owned some land there.
By the way, before I forget, I had a brainstorm the other day to start an Asian restaurant, calling it Rice Rice Baby. How does that sound?
It's catchy for here. That's for sure.
I'm sorry.
Do the listeners even know who Vanilla Ice is?
I'm sure that there are some who do.
Yeah, maybe my generation. I don't think they know.
That's the funny thing is that most of them are either too old or too young to know who Vanilla Ice was. But anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's true. No. I remember James White always says in his program, there's people who listen to my program now. They weren't even born when I started.
Right. I've met young people who don't even know what a CD is.
Oh, wow. That's wild. See, I buy and sell on eBay in my part time. So I buy and sell a lot of those old vintage electronics. So I have a lot of those.
All right. Well, I interrupted your flow there. Sorry.
It's okay. So in Cambodia, there's a guy in the countryside and he came to study in the city in Phnom Penh, which is the main city there, the biggest city in Cambodia. Actually, you remember probably in the late 70s with Pol Pot, the dictator.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I actually visited some of those killing fields while I was there.
Wow.
And yeah, 300,000 people massacred in the one spot I was there.
Wow.
Yeah, it was wild. They had all the skulls of all the people that they gathered together. Yeah, it was pretty wild. I didn't know I was out there. Like, oh, no, you're like 30 minutes away. You can go visit while you're there. So this guy came from the countryside. He's about 20, studying at the campus. But we started talking to him. He knew nothing about Christianity, never heard about the Bible, didn't know about Jesus. And we took him through the whole gospel. I mean, we went from Genesis to Revelation. We must have had a good 30-minute conversation with him about what it means to believe in Christ, why God's law came, why we can't follow it, how we broke it, why we need a savior, how to get everlasting life, how we need forgiveness through Christ alone. And we went through all these things, and we connected to the pastor there, and I pray that he continues to go to some of the Bible studies there. But it's just a blessing to be able to go through it and to have someone just listen, where here in the U.S., you know, a lot of times you're getting the attacks, they have the strong presuppositions, they're holding on to whatever false ideology like Roman Catholicism or Eastern Orthodox or Seventh-day Adventist or Mormonism, you know, the list goes on. They're holding on to it with all their strength while you're trying to take them to the scriptures to go, no, this is what the Bible says, you know? So it's really nice to be able to engage with people like that. And there were about three or four who had never heard about Christianity there as we talked in the campus and where he does the campus ministry. So that was great. And then,
one of the things I forgot to ask you, I think, not only regarding Cambodia, but even before that, Thailand. About is there any presence of Reformed theology there in either of those places?
Okay, so Thailand, there are some, like the church I was working with is a Reformed Baptist church that I preached at, and there's another one I know of at Bangkok, and there's a few scattered throughout. It's not very strong there. In Cambodia, there's a few, but it's about maybe the same small. I know Heart Cry Paul Washer's organization supports a few pastors in Cambodia and a few churches there. So it's growing slowly in Thailand and Cambodia. The big resurgence of Reformed theology right now is in the Philippines. They're having a huge resurgence where a lot of people are leaving Landmark Baptists. You know the Landmark Baptists?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. They're leaving the Landmark Baptists and they're becoming Reformed.
Huh. Now, there is a division amongst Landmark Baptists between Sovereign Grace believing Landmarkers and those that despise those teachings. They wouldn't call themselves Arminian, but in essence, that's what they are. But I'm wondering if the Calvinists that you've been hearing about in the Philippines, or should I say the Landmarkers that you've been hearing about in the Philippines, are just becoming more Reformed in their views. Like, for instance, you know, the whole concept of tracing your lineage all the way back to John the Baptist, which is quite amazing that anybody could say that. Were any of these Reformed Baptists that are former Landmarkers, were they already Calvinists or no?
I think it's a little bit of both. But I'd say the ones I'm referring to primarily, the guys I was working with, were Landmark Armenian Trail of Blood, Trail of Tears guys that started to get introduced to guys like Spurgeon and Whitfield and guys like that.
Yeah, the guy that, believe it or not, the guy that wrote the Trail of Blood was a thoroughgoing five-point Calvinist.
Really?
Yes. So I make the few Landmarkers that I know that are anti-Calvinist, because they're out there too, I've let them know that, much to their dismay, because they do, that element does hate Calvinism. But there is a considerable segment of them. I mean, it's a small group to begin with, but there's a considerable segment of them that is thoroughly Calvinistic. There was a well-known amongst Landmark pastors, Jack Green, who pastored in Texas and published a newspaper and has a college there. In fact, I think he may be a missionary now in Vietnam, but I'll have to check on that. It's somewhere in Asia where Jack Green, the Calvinist Landmarker, is doing missionary work. But
that's interesting. Well, really quick, so the Trail of Blood book was written by a five-point Calvinist?
Yes. Yep. Pastor in Kentucky.
So that was just a position he kind of took, and because James White's refuted that.
Refuted what? Landmarkism?
The Trail of Blood.
Yeah. Well, that specific element of, you know, the Baptists is believed by both Calvinistic fundamentalists and Arminian. And of course, if you take the whole umbrella of fundamental Baptists, Calvinism is a very tiny segment, but they do exist. Yeah. There's probably more among fundamentalists. There are probably more Calvinists that are Landmarker than those that are not. But anyway, we have to go to a midway break.
Yeah.
And if anybody wants to join us, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
It's such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to the Westminster standards, and Dr. Joan Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers: Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Atoy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
President of the SecureCom Group and an enthusiastic supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. The SecureCom Group provides the highest level of security, closed-circuit television, access control, and communication systems for Manhattan's top residential buildings, as well as churches, commercial properties, municipalities, and more. We custom install exactly what you need to protect yourself, including digital recording, off-site viewing, and connectivity from most smart devices. From simple code-activated systems to the latest technology using facial recognition, the SecureCom Group has it. We also provide the latest in intercom and IP telephone systems. In addition, we provide superior networking platforms. We'll create, maintain, and secure your local network. Whether it's a Wi-Fi or hardwire network, we'll implement the latest secured firewall, endpoint solutions, and cloud backup. I would love to have the honor and privilege of helping protect the lives and property of Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners and their associates. For more details on how the SecureCom Group may be of service to you with the very latest in security innovations, call 718-353-3355. That's 718-353-3355. Or visit securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. This is Brian McLaughlin of the SecureCom Group, joining Chris Arnzen's family of advertisers to keep Iron Sharpens Iron radio on the air.
I'm Simon O'Mahony, pastor of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Originally from Cork, Ireland, the Lord in his sovereign providence has called me to shepherd this new and growing congregation here in Cumberland County. At TRBC, we joyfully uphold the Second London Baptist Confession, we embrace congregational church government, and we are committed to preaching the full counsel of God's Word for the edification of believers, the salvation of the lost, and the glory of our triune God. We are also devoted to living out the one another commands of Scripture, loving, encouraging and serving each other as the body of Christ. In our worship, we sing psalms and the great hymns of the faith, and we gather around the Lord's table every Sunday. We would love for you to visit and worship with us. You can find our details at trbccarlisle.org. That's trbccarlisle.org. God willing, we'll see you soon.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening. Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnson on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnson and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Welcome back. Before I return to my conversation with Alexander Wright of Vessels for Christ and his missionary trip to Asia, we have some important reminders for you folks. If you really love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio and you don't want it to go off the air, please, I'm urging you, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or a credit card in that fashion. And if you prefer snail mail, mailing a physical check to a physical mailing address, there will also be a physical mailing address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you want to advertise with us, whether it's your church, parachurch organization, your business, your private practice, like a law firm, a medical firm, or maybe it's a special event you want to promote, whatever it is, if it's compatible with my beliefs, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign as quickly as possible, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com if you're interested in advertising, and put advertising in the subject line. And with all my begging and pleading for financial support because of our urgent need, I still, nonetheless, want everybody to remember that I never want an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener to give your own church, where you're a member, less money than you normally give your church in order to bless us with a financial gift. In other words, never cut into the finances that you have specifically set aside for your Lord's Day giving to your own church in order to bless us with a financial gift. Never do that. And if you're really struggling to survive and make ends meet, wait until you're back on your feet and more financially stable before you bless us with a financial gift. But having said that, if you are blessed financially above and beyond your ability to provide for church and family, and you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and trivial purposes, please share some of that money with us. If you want us to continue to exist, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. And keep in mind, we just lost two major advertisers, with a third one on the way, possibly. One of the major advertisers that we had was a prominent Reformed Christian book ministry, bookstore and distributor that had to permanently close its doors several weeks ago after 50 years of being in business and serving the Christian community. Well, we lost a big chunk of income as a result of that, so please help us replenish that lost income and replace it with your gifts and your advertising. So send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and tell us you want to advertise, or go to ironsharpensironradio.com and click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you're not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church, no matter where you live in the world, I have lists of biblically faithful churches, and now I even have one in Japan that I was unaware of. And I've helped many people in our audience spanning the globe find churches that are biblically faithful. Sometimes I've helped people find churches that are only a couple of minutes from where they live in all parts of the world. So if that's you, no matter where you live, if you're without a church home that's biblically faithful, please send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to my guest, Alexander Wright of Vessels for Christ, as we continue our conversation on his recent mission trip to Asia. And by the way, not that this is the main focus of our conversation, but I did find out that the author of Trail of Blood, James Milton Carroll, pastored in Waco, Texas, and he lived in the late 19th and early 20th century, having gone home to the Lord in 1930s, in fact, 1931. And I did confirm that he was a five-point Calvinist. So that is something that I'm sure most anti-Calvinist landmark Baptists are completely ignorant of that fact.
Interesting.
But where would you like to pick up now in your travels in Asia?
Oh, yeah. No, I wanted to say with your promo about giving, I actually stole that from you. As I tell people when they want to give to my ministry, I say, make sure you give to your local church first. I don't want to take that money.
So not only do we have advertisers that aren't promoting, or should I say advertising with Iron Trip and Zion Radio anymore, we have guests that are stealing from us. Well, I am honored that you would imitate that aspect of what I say during the show. So where did, unless you want to wrap up something about Cambodia.
Do we have any questions that have come in at all?
Yes, and I was going to wait until near the last segment to begin asking them.
Okay. Cambodia. Yeah, like I was saying, I'll just wrap that up. Some of the things your listeners can pray for in Cambodia. This was kind of an exploratory trip for us where we were, meeting with the pastor, seeing what the needs were. They really just need, pray for good teaching. Simple truths they need to understand about the scriptures, in order to promote that to their members, and really just the gospel. That's one of the things that's very lacking there, even among professing Christians and pastors and churches. Even in Asia, I run across a lot of Bible schools, quote unquote, in different Asian countries, but a lot of them aren't good. There's very few faithful Bible schools that are actually churning out good pastors who can actually exposit the scriptures, rightly divide the word, and actually preach the whole counsel of God. So that's something you can pray for that I noticed, and you can pray for in Cambodia. Your listeners can be praying for.
All right. Well, let me take a listener from Amethyst in Jupiter, Florida. Amethyst asks, are China and North Korea the only Asian nations left on the planet that still violently persecute Christians?
No, I would say that Christians are very persecuted and imprisoned in Mongolia, Bhutan, parts of Indonesia. I'm trying to think of all the other Asian countries out there.
Indonesia, a lot of people don't know that Indonesia is the most heavily populated Muslim nation in the entire world. And very few of those folks speak Arabic, which is interesting because if you are an Orthodox Muslim, if there could be such a thing, but if you are a true Muslim, your Quran has to be in Arabic. So that makes it kind of interesting that Indonesia is the most heavily populated Muslim place in the world. But anyway, I'm sorry I interrupted you.
No, that's okay. Yeah. While you're talking, I was thinking also people forget India. India is a very persecuted place. We used to do some work in India. We don't as much anymore. But one of the people we supported was a widow of a guy. Let me tell the story. There were a lot of guys, people getting converted in his village. His church was growing. And the villagers spread rumors to him that he, to a cult group, a terrorist group. They spread rumors to a terrorist group that he was working with the police against the terrorist group. So the terrorist group actually took him out of there and shot him dead in the street. And, and I saw his picture of the bullet in his head, and I still remember what that looked like. And we actually helped support his widow during that time. So India is there's very violent persecution. Basically, if you go to a lot of rural areas in India, you know, the villagers take things in their own hands. You know, it's not like here where there's more law and order. You know, the villagers, if they see a lot of people converting, people saying the gods are false, you know, Hindu gods are false, whatever, you know, they'll take it in their own hands and they'll attack them. And it can be violent where things are thrown at, people are killed. It can get pretty bad. So, in the countries I'm at, more rural areas in more of the cities, not as much violent persecution. But like I was saying before in the program, it's a cost to following Christ. So they get ostracized, they get demeaned in their families for actually following Christ and serving him as Lord.
Yeah, you reminded me in India how many people here in the States are very ignorant of how violent and anti-Christian the Hindus can be, because they have this wrong impression that it's only the Muslims who are persecuting violently Christians in Pakistan and in the Middle East and so on. And the Hindus in India, from what I have heard from missionaries, although they are completely fine with someone believing Jesus Christ is their Lord, God, and Savior, what they vehemently object to is when you say Jesus is the only way to salvation and you criticize Hinduism in any way. And there were some notorious murders of Christians there, including an Australian missionary family who were burned alive in their automobile as Hindus stood with these long poles keeping the door shut of the car, the length of the pole, to keep the persecutors free from harm as they burned the missionaries alive. But that's just one example. And people have to get out of their mind the tranquil, peaceful Hindu caricature in their head.
Yeah, it's true. Demons really stir these people up. You know, they stir them up to kill God's people. And it's been happening for years and years and years. So the last part of my trip I'll touch on, if you don't mind, is Myanmar. And that was the last country we went to Myanmar. And then I also stopped in Dubai for a few days. I did kind of find out the climate of the church there. But in Myanmar, that's where we've been doing a lot of work. And we support three pastors, an orphanage. Three pastors in an orphanage there. And the one main pastor, we've been supporting him fully financially for the last almost 3 years now. He has a church 2 hours north of Yangon. And the people there, I mean, I was very surprised when I went this time. I hadn't been there since 2019 because of COVID. I never got the vaccine, so I had to not travel for 3 years. And then the military coup in Myanmar, the military took over the country. They're, you know, pretty much destroying it. They're snatching people in the middle of the night to join the military. They're selling kids on the border to China. There's just terrible things happening there right now. So when I got in there, you know, there's barbed wire around the airport. There's checkpoints you have to go through. It's such a different place than when I used to go. And I was nervous at times. I was in my hotel room thinking, are they going to break in and take me to jail? because it was just, it's so different. And I mean, even though I'm doing ministry work, that's not, there's still a level of discretion that I have to have there and a level of, I have to be careful while I'm there. They're more after rebels and journalists there who are giving propaganda against the government, the military government. But yeah, it was encouraging to see the church. They have daily prayer meetings. They're really devoted to the Lord there, and they've become very Orthodox. The pastor I worked with is a big fan of R.C. Sproul. So he's listened to a lot of his teachings, and actually, you know, he was the one who received some of the Reformation study Bibles. And I actually sent him some church history books too, to teach his congregation. And it was very encouraging to see how close they are to God and how they're standing strong despite the inflation, despite the breakdown of their country, you know, despite, you know, some people in their church or husbands tried to go into Thailand or other countries for work and then they just disappear. You know, there's just so many challenges there right now for God's people. And I do want to bring attention to that because a lot of people aren't familiar with that country. It's right next to Thailand. It's like 60 million people. It's small percentage are Christian, but there's still Christians there and they're still faithful. And we really need to be lifting up that country in prayer. And I was fortunate that they gave me a visa to get in and I was able to get out and teach and preach there and really help that church while I was there. So,
all right, let me read another listener question from Bert in Walla Walla, Washington. Bert asks, I know that some missionaries who labor on mission fields in lands where proselytizing the Christian faith is illegal have secular jobs like teaching English to use as a means by which they can also evangelize people in whatever community where they are living and working. Is that something that you have noticed is a common way of evangelism?
Oh, yeah, 100%. In certain areas, like in Japan, for example, the missionary who's an American guy there, he actually served a need for the people, which was religion. So he got a visa, a religious visa, and he was able to live there, supported by churches overseas, no problem. But in countries like Thailand, thinking of India, China, more hostile countries, I know brothers who start businesses in order for them, even in Myanmar, I know a brother who has a business in order for him to stay in that country legally. And then, some are English teachers too that I've met as well. Kind of just do what you have to do in order to be able to share the gospel.
Yes, I had a close friend. I haven't spoken with him in years. I don't know if he's still there, but he was a missionary in Vietnam, and he was teaching English as well. And he met the Christian daughter of a couple that owned a restaurant there, and they fell in love, and he married her, has children. And one of the things that was interesting that he told me was that this restaurant was in an area of Vietnam, and I believe it was South Vietnam. It was in an area that is restricted to tourists, or one of the areas where tourists are restricted to go. The tourists could not roam around anywhere. They didn't want us. The government did not want American and Western European tourists to see the more impoverished areas and that kind of thing. Is that something that's also widespread in Asia?
I mean, I definitely think there's different countries that definitely block off access to foreigners. Even in Japan, there's certain cities that don't want foreigners to go through. So they might say no foreigners are allowed at the restaurant or even in the blocks of certain cities. And then I'm thinking there's definitely restricted areas like that you're not supposed to go to in certain rural spots that can be hostile to people. You know, they don't want international incidences in these countries. So they do want to protect the people and the people who are visiting, you know, the countries.
And just out of curiosity, what cuisine is your favorite in your travels in Asia? What country has their ethnic cuisine that is among your favorites?
Well, I mean, I love Japanese food. I mean, I could eat that every day, whether it be sushi or ramen or katsu or teriyaki or sashimi. You know, I could eat Japanese food all the time. I really love katsu. But
what's that?
So katsu is fried pork or fried chicken in like panko crust.
Oh, now that you say that, I remember it on the menu at one of my favorite restaurants here locally in Carlisle, Issei, Issei, Japanese noodle. And that's one of the things on the menu. Now that you say that, I remember it.
Yeah. It's and it has a sweet sauce with it and usually a pile of cabbage. And then there's some fermented like vegetables too that you eat it with and then rice. And so, yeah, I love that food. My favorite country is Myanmar. God drew me to Myanmar years ago. I love that country. I love the people there. I was great being back there for the first time in years. But I have to say, and they're not going to like this, Japan, nothing beats the food like Japan. Myanmar food is a little different. Burmese food is a little different to the average American. So, but the Japanese food just has... There's so many options, and the sweets, the desserts, and the ice cream is some of the best I've had in the world in Japan.
Well, I am absolutely sure, I can confidently say, that if James White never does a missionary trip to Japan, he will be eating at McDonald's every day.
That's what I heard that, and I heard he loves chilies too. He's a big chilies fan.
Oh, that's a new one that I didn't know about. But I know that he also loves Taco Bell, and he loves Long John Silver's and Arby's.
Yeah, he's very similar to my dad in that regard. My dad also loves all those places.
Yeah, James was telling me about his visits to such places as Rome, Italy, and he is eating at McDonald's in Rome. Unbelievable.
That's funny. You know, to be fair to Dr. White, when I am in these countries, I do like to try the fast food just to see how it compares to the U.S. And in Japan, I went to the McDonald's and I had a sashimi burger. So they put raw fish on the burger.
You're kidding.
And it wasn't that bad. No, it wasn't that bad. It was pretty good.
Wow. Before we go to the final break, I want to make sure that you highlight moments and things that you've learned from your trip to Asia that we haven't addressed already before we go to the final break.
I think... two big things I learned on this trip. One was that the church overseas needs simple truths, simple teachings, just the basics. You know, it's like a building. You want to start from the foundation up. So that was one thing I learned. I got very good advice before I went. So I really, you know, sometimes in our Reformed churches or whatever, we can make sermons very intricate. Sometimes complicated. We'll throw the Greek in there. We'll quote famous reformers, which there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes it can be a little too much. So I really just tried to focus on basic, simple truths out there. So that was one thing I learned. The other thing is that evangelism and the church universally, we need to share the gospel more despite whatever culture we're in. We need to be more bold You know, it's a lost and dying world out there. People are going to hell every day. I just learned about a few people that I know, you know, that have passed away recently in the last couple months, and some were believers, some were not. Well, the ones that are not believers, they're lost and going to hell for all eternity. And it's like, if it's like the parable of the pearl, God is, you know, God gave us a pearl. Do we just hold on to that pearl? No, we give that to other people. We share people the truth and the hope of the gospel. It's the only thing that can save. This life is temporary. It's short. It's a vapor. And eternity is forever. And so that is one of the things I learned over there, emphasizing being bold, being strong, relying on the Lord, learning the scriptures in order to share those scriptures with people and pointing people to Christ, despite how someone might attack us or not like us or even violently persecute us in some cases. But we need to be strong. And I always say to people, we imitate Paul as he imitates Christ. You know, we want to be strong and courageous with the gospel, because the devil is trying to bring as many as he can to hell. And we are the hope and the light and the salt of the earth to this lost and dying world. And we want to be in the world, preach to the world, but not of the world. So these are two of the biggest points I think I learned on this trip. A funny thing, though, I also learned I probably won't do 4 or 5 countries in 30 days. I was on 14 planes, 2 trains, 2 buses, and around the world in 30 days. And that was exhausting. So I will probably limit my trips in the near future, maybe do a few weeks at a time. But, you know, it was a good trip. It was fruitful. But that was just a personal thing that I kind of learned.
Okay. We have Flynn, who is located in Fort Thomas, Kentucky. And Flynn asks, I have heard for some missionaries overseas that are tempted at times to cooperate more than they should with other religions claiming to be Christian, at least on certain projects that may involve physical activity like digging wells and so on. They do so because of the starvation for like-minded people in a place where they are tiny minorities while doing their mission work. Is this something that you have battled, and what have you witnessed in regard to the heretical extremes of ecumenism on the mission field?
I personally haven't battled this. I'm very against ecumenism. I see it even rising in the U.S. today, where people are compromising. But I think, I don't think it's good to partner with other religions that don't believe that Christ is the only way, that Christ is God, these essentials of the faith. Because, yeah, eventually you might compromise, or you might go south, or God forbid, apostatize from spending so much time with them. I think I would never encourage someone to do that, despite how lonely you may be on the field. I mean, being friends with someone is one thing, but actually partnering with them, almost looking like it's some sort of Christian endeavor together, I don't think we should be doing that at all. I can apply this to like abortion ministry. A lot of times when you're doing abortion ministry, you have Roman Catholics there. You don't want to be with the Roman Catholics. You don't want to be working with the Roman Catholics, even though you're both trying to save babies' lives. As a Christian, you're going to be giving them the straight gospel and the truth of the gospel. Well, Roman Catholics are going to tell them, well, you need to be baptized, you need to trust in sacraments, you need to trust in the church and trust in grace to be saved. And that's a totally different gospel. So we want to stay true to what the scriptures say. So that's kind of what I would say to those things.
Yeah, again, I'm bringing up James White, but I think it may have been Operation Rescue or another prominent pro-life organization that he was involved in I think in the late 80s, perhaps. It might have been early 90s. And he had to leave, and I can't remember right now if he voluntarily left or was asked to leave, but either way, he left because he was forbidden to evangelize the Roman Catholics who were in his midst. And he realized that the gospel, as savage and satanic as killing an unborn baby is, the gospel is even more important than that.
I mean, yeah, the gospel is saving babies' lives is great, but the gospel, saving people's souls, is more important. You know, that's the most important thing. And you don't want to be with people who do not have the true gospel. I would never go with, in Japan, the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses are big. Well, I would never partner with the Mormons to do some sort of food outreach, you know, to maybe some poorer area there or something like that. I would just never do that because, yeah, I would eventually be sharing the gospel with them. And then, you know.
But what about, and of course, this would be a case-by-case situation. But what about the listener mentioned digging wells? Now, if people in a community where you are digging a well or doing something like that, rebuilding a building, home or barn or something that had collapsed in a storm, and you just join in the efforts, even though you may know some Mormons or Catholics or others are involved, and you use it as an opportunity to evangelize them and everyone else. Isn't that completely appropriate?
Yeah, that's completely appropriate.
You don't want to be viewed. You don't want to be viewed as somebody who is uncaring and lacking compassion for somebody in a certain area who needs these physical things.
Yeah, that's true. Like when I was doing the abortion ministry, there was a Roman Catholic there that would go every day, and I can't prevent him from going there. I can't tell him not to go. But I did share the gospel with him very firmly one night, and I told him, look, we are not on the same side. You know, you need to trust in Christ. The Catholic Church teaches a false, damning gospel. The Roman Catholic Church teaches a false, damning gospel. You need to trust in Christ's soul and your works. Because he said to us before, I'm doing this for my works. My work saved me. He said this to us. And I'm like, that is not what the gospel is. You are not saved by your works. Your works are like filthy rags. And so, but, you know, I kept going there to, you know, share the gospel with them. And we would be cordial and everything. But no, I would be sharing Christ with them first and foremost. So,
yeah, I am in kind of a dilemma in that I have a desire to invite Patricia Heaton on the program. Patricia Heaton, who portrayed Deborah in Everybody Loves Raymond. Very sweet lady. I met her at a book signing once. She used to belong to a Reformed church in Brooklyn, and she reverted back to Roman Catholicism. And I was trying to contemplate a way that I could have her on and acknowledge that I'm not an ecumenist and don't agree with Patricia on some very serious issues, but just have her describe what it's like in Hollywood being against the murder of unborn babies and that kind of thing. And from what I understand, she is conservative in many of her political views. So I think it would make an interesting conversation, but I just don't know if it would be stirring up too much trouble in my audience to have her on. I just don't know. She when I met her, she was a very humble and sweet lady. She was once pastored by a friend of mine who is no longer with us. He died somewhere in the neighborhood of a year or two ago. But it was just interesting how warm and gracious she was in our conversation there in the bookstore. But anyway, we've got to go to our final break right now. And if you'd like to join us on the air with a question, now's your time to do it because we're rapidly running out of time. Chris Arnson at gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Truly grateful for many things that the Trump administration has ushered in, but here's something that seriously concerns me. On July 18th, President Donald Trump signed the Genius Act into law. This new law allows financial institutions to convert your hard-earned dollars into stable coins, a digital token backed by $37 trillion in national debt. They will not need your approval. You hand over your dollars, and they give you a trackable, programmable, freezable token. This sounds like something out of a science fiction movie. They get control, and you get surveillance. Stable coins are not freedom. They're a digital leash. This is one step away from a full-blown digital currency. How stable is a stable coin? If your account is hacked, or if the power grid goes down for a period of time, you can instantly be locked out. It is time to get some of your hard-earned money outside of the traditional banking system and the U.S. dollar. If you want to have a better understanding of stablecoins and the future of money, then please call my friends at Gold Wealth Management and request your free report. This report is a must-read. Call or text Gold Wealth Management today at 623-640-5911. That's 623-640-5911.
The report is free and there's no obligation. Again, call or text 623-640-5911. Tell them Chris from Iron Sharpens Iron Radio sent you.
Puritan Reformed is a Bible-believing, kingdom-building, devil-fighting church. We're devoted to upholding the apostolic doctrine and practice preserved in Scripture alone. Puritan Reformed teaches men to rule and lead as image-bearing prophets, priests, and kings. We teach families to worship together as families. Puritan is committed to teaching the whole counsel of God so that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the sea. We sing the Psalms, teach the law, proclaim the gospel, make disciples, maintain discipline, and exalt Christ. This is Pastor David Reese of Puritan Reformed in Phoenix, Arizona. Join us in the glorious cause of advancing Christ's crown and covenant over the kings of the earth. Puritan Reformed Church. Believe, build, fight. PuritanPHX.com.
Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Iron Works, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens, Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
And don't forget, folks, that this program is paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco and Associates. If you're the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, please call my longtime friend and brother in Christ, Dan Buttafuoco, at 1-800-NOW-HURT, 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit Dan's website, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. Please make sure you tell Daniel P. Buttafuoco at law that you heard about his law firm, Buttafuoco & Associates, from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I also want to remind all Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listeners that if you are a man in ministry leadership, my next biannual free Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastors Luncheon will be held on Thursday, March the 5th, 2026, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. My featured keynote speaker for the second time is my very dear friend whose friendship I have cherished since 1996, Dr. Conrad Mbewe, pastor of Kabwata Baptist Church in Lusaka, Zambia, and a founding chancellor of the African Christian University. He will be the keynote speaker. Everything is free, not only your admission, not only your lunch, not only your opportunity to hear Dr. Mbewe preach, but every man that attends will receive a heavy sack, maybe even two heavy sacks, of free brand new books, personally selected by me and donated by generous Christian publishers all over the United States and United Kingdom. If you'd like to register for this free pastor's luncheon on Thursday, March 6th, I'm sorry, Thursday, March 5th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania, and that's 2026. Please send me your email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. You will be registered immediately. Please give me your first name. I'm sorry, your full name, the name of your church and its location, or your parachurch ministry that you lead. The night before that, Dr. Mbewe will be preaching at the church where I am a member, Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. That's Wednesday, March the 4th, 2026, at 7 p.m. That event is open to everyone, men, women, and children. So if you'd like to find out more about Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle and how to get there, go to that website for Trinity Reformed Baptist Church of Carlisle, trbccarlisle.org, trbccarlisle.org. And we have June in South Hamilton, Ohio. And June says, I know that this may differ from country to country, but in your visits to Asia, did the average person have a hatred towards what they believed America to be, or was it the opposite, or somewhere in between, or spanning the spectrum?
That's a good question. Different parts of the world are different when it comes to Americans, but in Asia, they love Americans.
Cool.
They love Americans. They love America. China has their own disposition,
and of course, what people really believe as opposed to what the government will let them say publicly might be two different things.
Exactly. But as far as Southeast Asia and India, they really love America. They love the idea of freedom. Especially, I was in Myanmar. They were very glued to that Charlie Kirk thing there because he stood up for freedom. He stood up for truth. And they were asking me about it. I wasn't a big follower of his by any means or anything, but they were really encouraged and emboldened to see someone so publicly proclaim what is true against the liberal false ideologies and the control of a government.
And CJ in Lindenhurst, Long Island wants to know, what are the favorite American sports, if any, of the average person that you have met in the different countries in Asia? That's great. Well, I know Japan has its own major league baseball team, or should I say major league. I'm sure they have more than one team, but
baseball is very popular there. Golf is very popular in Japan as well. There's a big golf tournament going on when I was there, and in basketball. And then in Thailand, Cambodia, Myanmar, football is soccer. You know, we call it Americans call it soccer, is very popular.
Yeah, but that's not really an American sport.
American sport. Oh, here's another thing for your the person who asked the question. Football was
American football.
They were a football team. Yeah, American football. They had teams in Japan, and if I remember correctly, even in Thailand too. It's gaining more popularity across Asia. Yeah, they're having teams.
Well, I was shocked to see that we are nearly out of time. If you want to just give us a summary of what you most want etched in our hearts and minds before we go off the air.
Sure, yeah. I just appreciate the time today. I want your listeners to be praying for Asia, for these countries I was in, for Japan and Myanmar, Cambodia and Thailand. Really pray for Myanmar, for the military to be overthrown, for some government intervention to help the people there. Pray for the believers in these countries that they remain strong, and for my ministry, for Vessels for Christ, for provision. If your listeners would like to donate, they can go to the website, vesselsforchrist.org, or Zelle, awright@vesselsforchrist.org. All donations are tax deductible. We would really appreciate your prayers and your support as we continue.
That's vesselsforchrist.org. Thank you so much, Alexander, for being a wonderful guest today. I want to thank everybody who is listening. And I want to thank everybody, especially who sent in questions today. I always love that when we've got listeners out there eager to ask my guests questions. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.